Welcome to another inspirational message from Pastor Ron Hammonds, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
Some of you have heard that Pastor Vaughn, my pastor, the man who has taken a position sitting beside me there, encouraging me, mentoring me for the past 16 years, that Pastor Vaughn passed away Friday evening, Friday night. And, you know, it's a difficult moment anytime some loved one passes. And Pastor Vaughn was such a prolific figure. Many of you were led to Christ because of the pioneering that he did here in our community, and indeed throughout all of East Texas and Southeast Texas. He held more than 300 revivals back in the day when revivals were something. He led the founder of Church on the Rock internationally to the Lord and put him into the ministry. So many others. I could name names, but I don't want to name drop. But what an amazing man. What an amazing servant of the Lord. He has inspired me to reach out and continue doing more. In fact, I'll talk just a little bit about that a little more in just a moment. But I want to show you something, and I want to set it up correctly. About 4 months ago, one of my friends passed away. His name was Daniel. At that time, I put his picture up on the screen. Daniel had a family. He is Kenyan and lived in Nairobi with his family. Until a few years ago, he was asked to go out to the city of Nakuru and to take over our Church on the Rock boys' home. There's about 40 boys there at any given time, 38 to 42, 45, fatherless boys, boys who have never known what it was like to get up and to have a family. And so Daniel became their father figure. And he's been a friend of mine for years, and each time I would go back to Nakuru, I would drive out and make sure that we visited and that we shared. And he's just a wonderful, wonderful man that just loved and cared for these children and taught them about Jesus. And you know, they're all born again. They're all, you know, hungry for ministry and for Jesus. And they know scriptures. And, you know, and he would tease them. You know, he would make me have a dance-off with those boys. Oh, yeah, I think there are videos, but I hope you don't ever get to see them. Because it was just so energetic there on the they raise all their own crops and, you know, have their cows that they milk and, you know, all overlooking Lake Nakuru up in the hills of called Ingeborg. And Daniel was just such a fine man. Wonderful man in his 50s, and he suddenly passed away, suddenly, from a stroke. And so I went there about 12 weeks ago. I went to see those boys to pay my respects because they had lost another father. And it was devastating to them. You know, there are people that, you know, were put there to take care of them. But it was just devastating. Some of you were there with me in July. Brandon, how many pieces of fried chicken did you take those guys? a truckload. Really. And we just showed up. Brandon and Jake had a whole car filled with Kentucky Fried Chicken and drinks, and we surprised them and unloaded it. And Daniel loved that. The reason I did it is because Daniel loved Kentucky Fried Chicken. And they just ate and ate and ate and ate and ate and ate and ate, and it was so much fun. And we played basketball, and we had such a wonderful time. And then when we came back, a couple of months, Daniel passed away suddenly. And so I went there, and I wanted to just sit with the boys and cry. You know, the older you get, the more dead people you know. You know that? And I'm getting to know too many. But there's only one option. I think I'll... So, when I left there, it's out on a dirt road. It's a long drive, and it's winding, and it's a lot of, curves, and I've gotten lost in years gone by trying to find it. But, I left there. My heart's broken. I've prayed with them. We've hugged. I sponsor one of the little boys there. And, there's just so many needs going on. So many. I just got on the way, on the drive back, I wanted to talk to my dad. And he's been dead for a lot of years. One more dead person I know. He passed away at 58. I wanted to talk, and the closest person that I had was Pastor Vaughn. So I called him, driving down that dirt road in Kenya. He answered the phone. I told him I loved him. Told him I just wanted to check on him. And he said, "The Lord just spoke to me about you." He said, "God just gave me a word for you." Pastor Vaughn is like, if he said God said something, then, take it to the bank. And he said, "I want you to know you are right where you are supposed to be." He didn't know that I had been wrestling with, what am I doing? There's so many people all over the world, so many people in Southeast Texas, so many people, and what am I doing here? Yes, I'm meeting needs, and I care, and I love, and we're feeding, and we're helping, but what, And he said, "God told me when I answered the phone, the Spirit of God spoke to me and told me that you are right where you are supposed to be. You are doing exactly what you are supposed to do. You're in the middle of His will." And then he began to quote Scripture. Would you open your Bible to Matthew chapter 25? Matthew chapter 25. He said, "Pastor," he called me Pastor. I called him Pastor. every time we introduced one another all through the years, I'd say, "This is my pastor," and he'd say, "This is my pastor." What a faithful man. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31, he said, "Pastor, you're right in the middle of God's will for your life. You're right where you're supposed to be, doing exactly what you're supposed to do." And then he said this, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory with all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.'" And then he said, "Pastor, would you preach my funeral?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Annette and Carla are sitting right here with me, and I have you on speakerphone, and I want to say it in front of them, and I want them to make sure that you preach my funeral. And I want you to know you are doing exactly what God has called you to do." What an encouragement. What an encouragement. You probably don't know that I wrestle whenever we come to another project. Why? Because I know we all have needs. When we come to another project that we're going, you know, that I'm going to have to, you know, tell you about, get you involved in, you know, divide our giving to, you know, raise money, raise soldiers, raise people who care. I think about you. How much more can I put on Darren and Susan? Just how much? Because they're going to do what we do. Lord Jesus, thank you. Royce, thank you. You know, Wayne, you know, I can't begin to name all of the people who make what we do possible. But I believe that we are doing exactly what we should do. We have from our church impacted, raised up, made possible, sent out over 20 congregations from our church since I've been pastor here to launch out. Churches all around Southeast Texas. Churches, you know, North Carolina, South Carolina. You know, that get their paycheck, you know, got their paycheck, or we did their finances, or we got their building, or you did. You bought their drums, their chairs, their, you know, you helped them get going, got them started, got them up and running, you know, you. You know, I'm asking you to do another one, help do another one now. Only this time it's in Russian, so it should be like a mission trip. We have so many things. You know, one of the things I'm most proud of that you've made happen, on top of the more than 1,000 water wells we have. Wow. And a school with 73 children in it now, in a trash dump. 73 little kids. And all the meals. But one of the things I'm most proud of is something that I ask my daughter to oversee. You know, I have to find volunteers for everything that we do. I asked my daughter to oversee. That is Zaburi House. It's a house that that we helped to build. You know, finished it in about 2002 or so, something like that, in Kenya. It's now our house. We built it for somebody else, and this past year, we took out a 40-year lease on it for an equivalent of $270 to $300 a month for 40 years, and it never goes up. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, and we moved girls there, at-risk girls. What do I mean by at-risk? I mean girls who are in real risk of becoming pregnant before they become a teenager, before 13. Okay, that's the risk. Those who are going through very, very difficult times, living in very difficult conditions. And when a spot comes open, you know, April finds another girl to put there. And you guys pay for it with your tithes and offerings. Yeah, we take money out of what you give. Yeah, thank you, by the way. We feed 750 meals a week there, something like that. And, you know, it's just amazing. Hey, a position came open just this past week, just 2 or 3 days, 4 or 5 days ago. Position came up, and let me show you. Little Esther was chosen, and let me show you this. You got a video? Would you show this? Now, you know, I can tell you this, sweetheart Esther. She's never had a shower before. You know. We're going to let her have as many as she wants. Do you know we have to fill up the water tank every week? But we're not going to stop. Thank you, by the way. You have to fill up the water tank every week. $50 a week to fill up the water tank. But I'm not going to tell them they can't have the showers. It's just an amazing thing. It's just thank you. You make such a difference. And I want you to know that I believe we are right where we're supposed to be. Amen. We're reaching out to our community, planting churches in our community, in our state, in our nation. We are helping with so many things, feeding people. We don't forget our community. We reach our community, and we also reach our world. I asked the Lord just recently, why did Jesus die so early? You ever wonder? You ever wonder why Jesus died at 33 and a half? I'm thinking that he could have lived to 78, and he could have done a whole lot more. Think about it. Can you see Jesus at 65? Can you see Jesus that, you know, I mean, he could have lived to be 150 if he'd wanted to. But why didn't he live longer? Why didn't Jesus, I mean, Jesus could have went to 40 or 45. Think of how many more people he could have helped. How many more people he could have encouraged. How many more people he could have healed. Think of how many more people he could have fed. If he had just have lived longer, why in the world, you know, I was talking with Janice Parks about this yesterday. Janice is watching, no doubt, because I don't see her sitting here. So she's watching, we were talking about this yesterday, and because getting old is no fun. You know, we were talking. That's why Jesus died early, because getting old is no fun. No, probably not. Why in the world did Jesus choose to die early? He couldn't he have went to 75? I mean, you know, I'm in my 70s. Just got in the door. Well, I asked this question and someone offered me an answer that I really feel that is probably the best answer that I could offer to you. Jesus saw how much needed to be done. Jesus saw all the world needed him. And if Jesus would have lived, let's say to be 75, don't you know that all the people would have continued trying to get to him? If he was alive right now, we would all be trying to get to Jerusalem with our problem. Wouldn't we? Come on now. You have a sick child, you have a big need, we'd all be headed to Jerusalem, we'd all be headed to the Galilee trying to find the, like Jairus did. You know, we'd all be searching, we'd all be going, you know, everybody would have had to come to him. But what he wanted, and he made it very plain in the scripture, is he wanted to go out to everybody else. He didn't want everyone to have to come to him. He did have the Holy Spirit without measure. But he said, it's necessary for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, I can just be with you. But I want to be in you. I want to fill you. You know, the difference between Jesus having the Holy Spirit and us having the Holy Spirit, there is a difference. We have the Holy Spirit as a reservoir. We have the Holy Spirit as a treasure in an earthen vessel. Jesus had the Holy Spirit as a fountain. You know, Adam, the first Adam, was a living soul. And the Holy Spirit was in Adam as Adam was a vessel. And the Holy Spirit filled Adam. That's the breath of God went into Adam. But the breath of God comes out of Jesus as a fountain. The second Adam, the Bible says, was a life-giving spirit. Jesus was so filled with the Holy Spirit as a fountain, we as a reservoir. That's why he encourages us to continue to hear his word and pray and seek him and receive the anointing as a reservoir. So as he pours into us, we can go into all the world and pour into others. It's necessary to realize that Jesus wanted to do more than one man could do. He wanted to reach the world. And so he empowered you with the Holy Spirit and with a great commission. Go into all the world and teach all nations, making disciples of every nation, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and I will be with you always. Well done, good and faithful servant. I was hungry and you fed me. He showed us that every meal is a miracle. on that hillside, every fish and loaves was a miracle. But he needed more miracles all over the world. Every meal is a miracle. Even though they'll get hungry again in about 4 hours, every meal is a miracle. I want to thank you for being a part of the miracle of God. For doing what Jesus realized was necessary, in that he could not do it alone. So he empowered us. I believe that he is hearing our prayers, and I believe that he will bless you so that he can make you a blessing. Include him in your life. Include him in your marriage. Include him in your business. Include him in your family time. Include Jesus. And then serve him. As a church, we need goers and stayers and prayers and payers. Those are the four people that we need in every church, not just this church. We need goers, people who will go and tell and share and work and feed and meet needs. We need stayers. We need people whose roots will go down so that when we come back from having gone, there'll still be a church here. There'll still be a Sunday school. That when I'm not here, there will still be somebody to preach. There'll still be somebody to sing. You know, we need stayers. We need goers and we need stayers. We need people who don't feel called to go to Thailand. People who don't feel like, no, I don't feel called to make the trip to Kenya. I feel called to stay by the stuff. We need stayers. We need people who are called by God to stay. We need goers and stayers. We need prayers. Nothing is done without praying, without prayer. We need people who will pray over every endeavor, who will pray over Pastor Sergey and the new work here that we are beginning to start. We need prayers, people who are committed to lift up, to travail until Christ be formed in us as a body, as a church. We need people who will be found on their knees, on their face, at the altar, seeking God, interceding, calling out, crying out to Jesus. We need goers, we need stayers, we need prayers, and we need payers. We need people who will pull out of the reservoir that God has given them money to fund the gospel. Some of you are called by God to be payers, and God is ready to bless you. He's willing to bless you. Some of you, he has blessed you. He is making you a steward, and many of you are going to be more and more and more and more and more blessed. And God is going to use you. And when you get to heaven, goer, stayer, prayer, or payer, when you walk through heaven's gates, you are going to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick. I was in prison and you cared about me." That's what you're going to hear. That's my job as a pastor, is to make eternal investments for you. We have reached so many continents and countries together. Just you alone, Jason, just you alone. How many countries have you reached for Jesus? 30? I think it's a little bit more than that. Just Jason sitting on the front row. Why? Because our church has a mandate on it. A mandate to reach out from these four walls and to carry the gospel. When you read the Bible, all the things you read in the Bible, almost 99% of them were not done in church. They were done as a result of church. All right. Well, some of you might not be saved. Somebody listening, somebody, you know, here, you may not be born again. You must be born again. This is the message we carry around the world. And if we can go around the world and encourage people to make Jesus their Lord and Savior, certainly we can ask you to do the same. But instead of me asking you this morning, I'm going to close out with someone else asking you to and telling you how to be born again. Get saved. Are you saved? Are you saved? Okay. Have you invited Jesus into your heart? Okay, well, what are you doing about it now? What are you doing to make sure that everybody else gets their chance? Okay, come on, let's just, we're a good, strong church. Let's just keep doing what we've been doing. Let's just keep doing it. But just in the event you're not born again, before we close, I want you to listen to this.
How do you know that you're saved? How do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven? I'm going to pray a prayer with you. If you'll sincerely pray this prayer with me, mean it from your heart, you will be saved. And you'll know that if you died, you'd go to heaven. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I realize that I have sinned against you, but I am willing to repent. I choose to repent, to turn away from being a sinner. And right this moment, I open the door of my heart, and I take you, Lord Jesus, into my heart to be my Lord and my Savior. I give my life to you. Fill me, Lord Jesus, with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for coming into my heart. Thank you for saving me. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, it's very important that you contact us because we have some information to help you get started in your Christian life. I would like to write a letter to you so that you can know how to win your friends and your family to Christ. And then we'll send you other information to help you get started. So here it is. Remember, realize that you've sinned against God, choose to repent, and receive Jesus into your life. Jesus said, "Him that cometh to me," or "her that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." So if you come to Him, He will not cast you out. You can know Him and know that you're saved, and know if you died, you'd go to heaven. And then share that with others. It's so important that we be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. So call us or email us. Please let us have contact with you so that we'll be able to help you along the way in your Christian life. Find a good Bible-believing, praising, worshiping church and join that church so you'll have a pastor to help you as you go along in your Christian life. God bless you. I believe that God is going to do great things in your life.
Amen. You'll find that on our website. Pastor Vaughn did that for us in our studio here so that we could publish that around the world. God bless his memory. God bless his family. And God bless you. If you have asked Jesus into your heart, into your life, please let me know. I have a gift for you that will help you with your next step. I pray in the name of Jesus that God would undergird you, He would strengthen you, that He would bless you, that He would increase you, keep you safe, that He would heal your bodies, that He would give you favor, that He would bless you in your workplace and bless you in your home, that He would cover your hurts and your pains, your losses and your fears, that Almighty God would speak to you in your nighttime and comfort you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the sweet Holy Spirit of God be with you in Jesus' name. God bless you. Come for prayer or go in peace, but don't go in pieces. God has a plan for your life. God bless.
Thanks again for joining us for another encouraging word from Pastor Ron Hammonds. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.